Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
And then once you get it, you can stand to your feet. This is a race for all the competitive people. Don't cheat. If you don't have it, don't stand up. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead. You can go ahead and stand to your feet as you continue to turn there. We're going to read Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. And this is an account in the life of Jesus. And today we're talking about harvest. As we have gone through the growth chart series, this is our final day. Today concludes the growth chart series that we've been going through. And if you've been here, you know that each letter in growth is an acronym, and it stands for something that we need to do or to grow in our life. And as we do those things and as we grow in those things, growth happens in our life and in our community and in the body of Christ and in what's happening in our region. And so today the H stands for harvest. And so we're going to read Matthew 9, verses 35 through 38. And it says, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease." I would encourage you, you're standing right now, you probably don't have a pen, but if you did, I would encourage you to circle or to underline those words, "every." Because I want you to realize that there is nothing in your life that God cannot heal. There is nothing in your life that God cannot transform and change. He is not limited in any way. He healed every sickness and every disease. There wasn't one thing that Jesus looked at and said, "I can't touch it. There's nothing I can do for you." You know, you can go to the doctor and there's some things that they can help you with, but there comes a point and there comes a time in certain things where doctors will say, "There is nothing more that I can do for you." But the great physician can heal any and all disease. If you say, if the doctor told you you're diseased in your mind, you are crippled in your mind, Jesus can heal every sickness and every disease. He is not limited. He healed every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is truly plentiful." When he said the harvest is truly, it translates like this in the Greek. What he said to them is, the fact is this, that the harvest is plentiful. It's a fact. It's a reality that the harvest outside of these doors, it is plentiful. But here's the problem. The problem is not that the harvest isn't ready. It's that there's not enough laborers. He said, the harvest is truly plentiful. The fact is that there is a harvest that is ready to be reaped, but the laborers are few. But he gives us the answer. I love it when there's a problem and Jesus presents the answer to the problem, because there is no problem that Jesus does not have the answer for. In verse 38, he says, "Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Pray with me this morning. Father, I thank you that the harvest is truly ripe, plentiful, and ready. And Lord, I pray, as Jesus told us to, and there's blessing and release and favor and obedience. And I pray to the Lord of the harvest this morning. And I say, send forth laborers into your harvest. Send forth men and women who will wield a sickle, who will get up the sheaves, who will bring people to the house of God, who will preach and teach the gospel outside of the four walls of the church, God. Let us fulfill the commission that was given by Jesus, and I pray that today we would be impacted and changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ once again, and that same gospel, we would use it to preach and teach in the community so that people could be saved. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. Today is not the end of growth, it's the beginning of growth. Today may be the conclusion of a series, but it's not the conclusion of our journey. It's the end of us talking about growth in regards to grace, repentance, offering, worship, training, and harvest. But I believe that the end of something usually is the beginning of something. Think about it this way. The end of a day is actually just the start of another day. And so the end of this series, it's not the end of growth. Oh, because you could look around and go, oh, well, we didn't see the growth that we wanted to see during the growth chart series. What you don't realize is that the growth chart series is to prepare you for the growth that is coming. And I truly believe that the end of this series is the beginning of stepping into the growth that God has for us. And I believe that we're already seeing growth in the body of Christ with getting the facility that God has prepared for us, adding Pastors Jeff and Crystal Tilly last week as community outreach pastors that are going to lead outreaches and train people in ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believe that we're seeing a growth in having starting point and adding new members to the church. But I'll tell you this, I'm expecting a harvest. I'm thankful for what God's doing in our midst. I'm thankful for what's happening right now, but I'm expecting and I'm anticipating exponential growth. I know that the Lord had me preach and teach this series. Once again, we only did it like a year ago, but God put it back on my heart because he said, it's time to grow again. He spoke that to Pastor Madison. He confirmed it in my heart, and I believe that it is time to grow again, and he had us go through this series once again prophetically to prepare us for the position that he's about to move us into. And I'm truly believing, like I said, for exponential growth. You know what that word exponential means? It means becoming more and more rapid. So I'm not just talking about growth like a little bit of growth. I'm talking about sudden growth. I'm talking about rapid growth. I'm talking about increasing every single time. Every time you turn around, it's multiplying and it's multiplying in your life, in this community, in this house. And I need somebody to believe with me for this. I need somebody to say amen or come on, I believe it. That it can happen in my life. It can happen in this house. It can happen in this community because that's what is coming and that is what is happening even now in this body, is God has been preparing us for exponential growth. Because I truly believe the Lord dropped this phrase in my spirit, position without preparation always leads to failure. But that means that preparation that precedes position will set you up for success. And I believe that God has been preparing us for exponential growth. I know sometimes you might look around on, listen, I'm not blind and I'm not stupid. I look around and I wonder sometimes, God, where is everybody? And I love you and I'm happy to come here and preach to you every single week. But I came to this city because I believe that God was going to send a revival and we were going to see a harvest of souls. I believe that we're going to see these seats filled up and it may seem like I'm just making stuff up and I'm just saying stuff. I've told God, if you don't come through with what you've told me to do, I'm going to look like an idiot. And you know what? If I have to look like an idiot for the sake of the gospel, then sign me up. Because I believe so much in what God has said and what he is doing and what he is going to do. And I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. But I wonder, and I look back, God, 2 years, 24 months of our life, of your life. This isn't just me. I know it's been sacrificial for you, for your family coming in here, especially the people that set up and tear down every single week. I know it's taxing. I know it's time consuming. I know it's tiring. But I'm telling you what. The more you prepare, the more you can handle. And I believe that God has had us in a preparation season for 2 years because he said, I'm laying the groundwork. I'm laying a foundation. I'm getting things ready because if I give you the position without the preparation, you'll fail. But I love you too much to let you fall and to let you fail. So I'm going to put you through some suffering. I'm going to put you through some hardship. I'm going to grow your faith. I'm going to grow your anticipation because the exponential growth is coming with a suddenly move of God, but he had to get us ready. He had to get us to enlarge the place of our dwelling, to stretch out the curtains, to not spare, to lengthen our cords, to strengthen our stakes so that we can break through to the right and to the left. And I want you to say today, I truly believe God spoke this to me yesterday. He said, you are now primed for growth. You're primed for growth. You know, yesterday I bought a paint sprayer, okay? And I realized as I was reading about this paint sprayer, I have never used a paint sprayer before. But those of you that have, you'll understand if you've ever painted anything, you have to prime the sprayer before you just start spraying. Okay? And what that means is I had to put it on a prime setting and let it run and let it get the paint going through and let it filter it out so that once I was ready to start spraying, the hose was clear of any air that was trapped in there. It was clear of anything that would hinder it. But once it was primed and it was ready, let me tell you, I'd started painting my house rolling and brushing that joker, and that was foolish. That was unwise. So I went and I bought me a sprayer, and I'll tell you what, I did 15 times more of a space in the same amount of time with that sprayer than I did when I was rolling and I was brushing. You know, but I had to prime the sprayer to get it ready. But once it got primed, and baby, when I started spraying, it was... And I was just covering. I didn't want to stop. I was painting spots I hadn't even taped and prepped yet, because I just got so excited that once that paint started coming out, I was just like, let it flow, baby. And I'm just painting everything. I painted the children. I painted the trees. I painted the grass. You think I'm kidding? Go look at my yard. My yard is painted, because once that paint started coming out, I was like, this is fun. I'm just going to paint everything. I painted the air conditioning unit. I didn't go that far. But I'm telling you, when you take the time to set things up right and you get primed and you get positioned and you get ready and all of a sudden it starts to flow and it starts to come, you start getting more done and it's exponential. It becomes more and more rapid, the increase that is coming. And what I'm believing is that we are primed for growth. God spoke that to me. He said, Spencer, he said, the church is now primed for growth. We've had pruning. We've had ups, we've had downs, but he's saying you are now primed for growth and I'm expecting a harvest. You know what I'm praying? I'm praying, Lord, give us the Wellfort Payne, the heathen for our inheritance. The last thing that I ever wanted to do in planting a church in this city is to go steal people from other churches, because that is the most anti-Christ mentality that you could possibly have. Because the goal of the Antichrist is to steal what Christ already has. He wants there to be a falling away and apostasy from the body of Christ. I'm not here to try to compete with the church down the road. I'm not here to try to steal from church down the road. In fact, I'll tell you what, there are multiple pastors in this county that I've had lunch with that I want to partner with what God is doing in this community. I'm not out to just us and what we're doing and what's going on. I want to see God move in this city, no matter where it happens, how it happens. But I will tell you this, I want the lost and the heathen and the broken and the hurting. I want to see people saved and delivered and set free. I want to see thousands of people get saved in one day. And maybe I'm simple-minded, but I just tend to lead towards the fact and believing that if he did it in the Bible, he can do it again. And you can call me simple. You can say it's outdated. You can say it doesn't work that way anymore. And I would say you're entitled to your own wrong opinion, because I believe that the Bible is true and it's fact. And on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were added to the kingdom in one day. And if you don't believe that that kind of stuff can happen, then I truly believe that you are limiting God and putting boundaries on, saying, well, God can't do that. He only did that one time. He only did it there. No, God is an exponential growth kind of God. And I believe this, that miracles favor the faithful. If you want to see miracles happen in your life, you want to see miracles happen in this church, you want to see miracles happen in the community, all you need to do is be faithful. If you will be faithful, miracles will show up and will happen, because signs, wonders, and miracles follow those who believe, meaning those that are faithful. So miracles follow the faithful, and I'm full of faith, and I'm set on believing that there is not one soul that is too lost, there is not one addict that is too bound, that he cannot set them free. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. So my goal and my decision for the Wellfort Payne is we're going to do everything that we can to lift Jesus up. We're going to do it in praise. We're going to do it in worship. We're going to do it in prayer. We're going to do it in outreach. We're going to lift Jesus up, because I'm not out to promote our church. I'm here to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ, because I truly believe that if you look at our text, it says Jesus was moved with compassion. And I'm asking you to join me in prayer. I prayed this yesterday. I prayed it this morning. I prayed it during our service this morning. And I'm asking you to join with me in prayer. Make this a consistent habit in your life, to ask God to burden us with compassion for our community. If you're taking notes, write it down. Write down, God, my prayer is that I would be burdened with compassion for the souls that are lost in our community. You see, Jesus didn't just feel bad for people. He didn't look at him and go, bless their heart. Look at him, Matthew. Look at him, John. Don't you feel bad for him? He was moved. There was action. You see, it's one thing to pity somebody. It's another thing to help somebody. And Jesus was moved. The compassion creates and evokes a response within your life. So I don't want us just to look at people and feel sorry for them. I want us to look at people and be moved with compassion to help them. It says that Jesus, in our text, he was preaching the gospel and he was healing every sickness and every disease. That's what I want to see happen in this house, in this community. You want to know what's the vision for the Wellfort Payne? Preach the gospel and see miracles. That's what I want to see. We want to advance the kingdom of God by being passionate for God, compassionate towards man. When you're compassionate towards man, you will preach the gospel. And when you are faithful, God will release signs and wonders and miracles to happen. I believe that this should be a common occurrence in the kingdom of God. And God is writing some things in my heart, because have we seen miracles? Yes, but I want to see souls being added to the kingdom at a rapid, increasingly rate. And I want to see miracles. And if we aren't seeing miracles, then we might want to check our residency. Because if we live in the kingdom is a kingdom of miracles. It's a kingdom of salvation. It's a kingdom of mercy. It's a kingdom of peace. It's a kingdom of joy. It's a kingdom of life. And because he is the Lord of the harvest, that he's also the master of miracles. And he's not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. And he is willing for people to be saved and healed and delivered. And he said this, you have not because you ask not. So we're going to start asking for the heathen for our inheritance. We're going to start asking for that field that's white with harvest. We're going to start asking for open doors to preach the gospel. We're going to start asking, God, let me run into a drug addict today instead of hoping I don't have to run into a drug addict today. We're going to start asking, Lord, put me in this person's path. Lord, help me to be led by the Holy Spirit so that I can preach the gospels and I can see miracles. What if we started praying for souls and we started praying for people to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and we started praying for miracles instead of just praying for a bigger house and a bigger paycheck and a bigger boat and better things? But we started saying, God, I want to win souls for the kingdom of God. Proverbs says, he who wins souls is wise. Because listen to me, it's not a better outreach, it's not a better nursery program that's going to save people. It's not a better band, a better building. It's not some silver-tongued orator that's going to stand up and woo people and tickle itching ears. It is people that are going to get on their knees and say, God, if we don't have nothing else, we need your presence and we need to win souls and we need to see signs and wonders and miracles, because it's the gospel of Jesus Christ accompanied with signs and wonders and miracles that can transform a region and a nation. Because it's one thing to tell somebody about the gospel. It's another thing to invite somebody to church. But when they get healed, trust me, they'll want to follow Jesus. When their daughter or their son is lying on a sick bed and about to die, and you walk in and you lay hands on them, or you pray for them in the store because you hear about it, and that son or that daughter gets up, trust me, you won't have to beg them to come to the house of God with you anymore. They'll be beating you to the house of God because they'll be so excited about what he's done in their life. And I don't want to live a boring, mundane, just come and just go every single week and play church. I want to see God move, and the only way we're going to see him move is by asking him to move, because we have not because we ask not. You want to know why God isn't moving in your life, in your house, in this house? It's because we're not asking him to. Because if we'll just say, God, I want you to come every single Sunday. I want you to be with me on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. Trust me, he will not leave you wanting or lacking if you ask and you pray. But he said, you ask, but you ask amiss. Meaning you're asking for the wrong thing in the wrong way. But there is no wrong way to ask for a move of God. Not what he can do for me, but God, what will you do through me? What will you do for others? What will you do in my life? And if you'll get your eyes off of what you want and put them on what he wants, trust me, there is no limit to what can happen. And I don't want to play church. I want revival. I want signs and wonders and miracles. I love you. I love every single one of you. I'm so thankful to God for you. But I believe there's so many more people that need to be here with us. There's people that don't know him. How many of you have been walking with God more than 5 years? You've known God longer. 10 years, keep your hand up. 15 years, keep your hand up. 20, 25, 30, 35, 40. I mean, we could just keep going. I'm so thankful for the faithfulness of people, but we also need some people in here that hadn't walked a day with God. Or it's been 1,000 days since they knew him or talked to him or thought about him. And the only way that they're going to get here is if we will be the laborers that he wants to send out into the harvest field. Because I love teaching the gospel and teaching the word of God. And I love getting into the, you know, we talked about last week in Hebrews. He said, you know, you ought to be eating meat by now, but you're still drinking milk. I'm thankful for maturity, but I think that every church should have a spectrum of people, every race, every nation, every age, every walk of life, so that the older in the church have someone to pour into the younger, spiritually and naturally. That the old men are teaching the young men, the older women are teaching the younger women and training them in righteousness. But listen, we can't just expect that they're just going to show up one day. There's got to be a move of God. And here's what I want to say to you today. Don't expect a harvest if you aren't preaching and living the gospel. So often, we expect the harvest to happen without ever sowing any seeds. The Bible says one plants, one waters, but God gives the increase. But it doesn't just say God gives increase. There still must be the planting. There still must be the watering. And so we can't expect a harvest if we're not willing to plant some seeds. You wouldn't expect to walk out in your yard and get corn one day if you didn't walk out there and plant corn in your yard. Nobody's that delusional to walk out on the back porch and wonder, where's the tomatoes? When they didn't plant any tomatoes. But it's amazing that the church will walk in and go, where's the harvest? When all throughout the week they ain't planted one seed in anybody's life. Not telling anybody Jesus loves them. Not telling anybody hell's real and hell's hot. And if you don't love Jesus and you don't follow him and you don't receive his salvation, then you'll end up there. Nobody telling them, hey, look, there's a better way of living. Would you like to come to church with me? Can I pray with you today? Listen, if we don't sow seeds, we won't reap a harvest. But the problem with the church is we come in every single week and everybody wants to look around and go, where's everybody up? But ain't nobody inviting anybody. Ain't nobody preaching the gospel. And I'm not saying anybody, I'm not harping on you today. But if it hits home and it steps on your toes, you know you should have wore steel toe. Right, Ronnie? And so I'm not trying to be mean. I'm talking to us as the body of Christ. We can't expect a harvest if we don't sow any seeds. So don't wonder where the growth is if you're not sowing any seeds. Okay? All right. What's something's rolling around down there? It was a golf ball. That came, I know where that came from. I know exactly where it came from, Boaz DeVries. If it's a Wilson, that boy, he plays Wilson golf balls. That's him. So somebody save Wilson. All right. Here's what I believe. Talking about sowing seeds of the gospel. If you believe in something, you aren't afraid to promote it. We saw that in 2020 very clearly. Masks, no masks. Some people stayed in the middle because they didn't really know what they believed. But if you knew what you believed and you knew what side you were on, you didn't mind promoting it. Share it on Facebook. Talk about it in a restaurant. Walk in somewhere without one on. You were not afraid to promote and stand where you were. Biden and Trump. Signs in the yard. Posts on Facebook. Conversation. You were not afraid to say, I'm on this side of the fence or I'm on this side of the fence. You know, Black Lives Matter, all lives matter. Gun control, no gun control. If you listen, You will argue to death with somebody about that stuff. Why? Because you believe in it. And there's nothing wrong with that. You should promote what you believe in. So if we're not promoting the gospel, we don't really believe it. If we're not promoting and showing and telling people what Jesus can do for their life, we don't really believe what Jesus can do for our life. Because you are not afraid to promote what you believe in. And either we believe that this gospel message can change lives, or we don't. And if you don't, I don't know where I was going to go with that. It just came out. And then all of a sudden I was like, I don't have anything to say after that. But if you don't believe in the gospel, I'll just say this. Today is a good day to start believing in the gospel. Today is a good opportunity to say, you know what? Maybe I haven't been believing in the gospel like I should. Maybe I haven't been promoting it. And it will check something inside of your heart. And listen, the gospel message may not be popular, but it is powerful. It's not popular. You know why? Because we have a generation of people. I saw this the other day. I think it was on Facebook or something. It says the gospel sounds really weird to a generation that's been told to just trust in themselves, believe whatever their heart says, you know, and you know, whatever you want to do, go for it, and it'll happen. It sounds really weird because the gospel is simply this. Jesus Christ came to die for sinners. I'm a sinner. I need to admit that I'm wrong instead of feeling like I'm right all the time. And I need to deny myself, take up my cross, and follow after him. It's not a popular message, but you know what it is? It's powerful. It has the power to transform your life because the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. How many of you, your life's been changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ? You believe it. Therefore, let's go promote it. Amen? Go with me to Acts chapter 2, and I'll begin to wrap up here. I'd be amiss if I didn't reference this chapter today for two reasons. One, it's Pentecost, not out of a religious way, but because of honoring, but also because of the harvest that takes place in this passage. I want to read Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, and they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There's a few things I want to point out, a few definitions I want to give you from this passage, and then we're going to skip down and read two other portions out of this chapter. But one thing I want to show you is because they were in a one accord, they all received a tongue of fire, and they all were filled, and they all began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. And I'll tell you what, I want to see a church in this community where it's not just one person or another person getting touched, but I want to see a move of God where everybody in the building, from the babies in the back to the oldest person in the sanctuary, is getting filled and touched with the Holy Spirit of God. But it happens when they all came in one accord. And what was that one accord? That one accord was the mind and the desire to wait on God and to pray until he showed up. And I believe that that's the kind of church that God is birthing and bringing in us. But it says in verse 2, and suddenly, you'll remember last year, I preached a two-part sermon called Suddenly, and I'm going to preach it again next week because I preached it last year on our anniversary, and it's not just, but God is bringing me back to things because I think there was a lot of times in this journey of the church where we thought nothing was happening, but God was really doing something, and we love to sing even when I don't see it, you're working, but sometimes we don't really believe that when we can't see it, he's working, but I believe he was doing something, and God is saying to me, the suddenly that you've been hoping for, praying for, and preaching about, it is coming. You said it was coming then, but you were just prophetically preparing the people for it. Now it's actually coming. And it says suddenly. That word suddenly means manifested or uncovered. Because we believe that God is everywhere, but all of a sudden he revealed to them himself. And it says that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. This is what I love. That word filled means fill to the maximum or fill to capacity. It's like what your gas tank hasn't been in a long time. You know what I'm talking about? It's been riding on that quarter tank, you know, riding there. And, oh, I'll put $20 in so I can pull up to the next pump. You know what I'm talking about? And do it again. But it's talking about being filled. The Holy Spirit doesn't just come and give you a little bit. Just enough to get by. He fills you to the maximum, to capacity. And here's what I want to say and declare over this house. The filling of the Holy Spirit, and I truly believe that you can be filled with the Spirit more than once. Some people think it's a one-time thing. You're filled, you're done. But if you look at the Bible, this is Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4. The Bible says that the room where they were shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. So they were filled more than one people because it was the same people present in Acts chapter 2 and in Acts chapter 4. And so I believe that you can get a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. But the filling of the Holy Spirit will not just fill you to capacity, but it will increase your capacity. And that's what I'm praying for you today, is that our capacity as the laborers that are supposed to be sent out into the harvest field, God would increase our capacity and empower us and enable us to do what we could not do before. Because look at this. In the book of Acts, you know the rest of the story. They go out of, and here's what I love. A mighty move of God will always get you outside of the four walls of the church. The outpouring happened in the upper room, but it wasn't contained to the upper room. You know why? Because you can't contain a move of God. And the reason that God moves in the church is to get us out of the church to minister to those that don't know him yet. Because listen, it's the same with a family. It's the same with a group of people. If you don't reproduce, you will die off. And it's the same with the church. We've seen churches do it for years and years and years. I don't want this to be that kind of church that we're not winning souls. Because if we're not winning souls, listen, even the youngest of us will eventually grow up or will perish, and there won't be anybody left if we're not reproducing. And so the Holy Spirit is poured out, and they go out, and they begin to speak in languages that they could not speak before. He increased their capacity to do what they could not do in and of themselves before they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'm believing that God is going to increase your capacity. I'm going to pray over you today, and we're going to pray for the lost in our community once again. And I want to pray for you that God would increase your capacity to be able to do what you couldn't do before. And then the crowd begins to say, these people are drunk. And you know what else they were? The Bible says they were confused, but it also means they were amazed at what was happening. They were confounded. They were wondering, what is this that is happening, that I am hearing them? And they were preaching the gospel to them in their own language. And I'm believing that we're going to see people confounded, not just in the church, but outside the church, wondering, how is it that you know this about me? How is it that you have the boldness to tell me this? How is it that I can be set free? And we're going to, I'm believing that God is going to use you. He's going to use me. He's going to use this church. And we're going to see a mighty harvest for the kingdom of God. Now let's read what Peter says in verse 14 through 21. It says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Jerusalem and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass. Anybody remember what we're talking about today? We're talking about harvest, right? And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, when he says, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, that word pour out means to bestow liberally or to gush out. He said, I am going to bestow on you liberally my spirit. John the Baptist said he does not give his spirit, but without measure. That means that, like I said earlier, he doesn't just give you a little bit. He has liberally disposed the spirit of God into the church, into us. And I believe that if we miss out on the filling of the Holy Ghost, we will miss out on the harvest that he wants to have. We need the Holy Spirit if we want to have a harvest. Because he said, I'll pour out my spirit and they'll prophesy. They'll dream dreams. They'll see visions. And I believe that as God pours out his spirit upon us liberally, we are going to see people get saved. You see, Pentecost was the fulfillment of Joel chapter 2. We always read, in the last days I'll pour out my spirit, like there's going to be another outpouring. But no, Joel chapter 2 was fulfilled. That's why Peter stood up and he proclaimed the words of Joel chapter 2. And those things were fulfilled. So God has already poured out his spirit on every tribe, every race, every tongue, every nation. He fixed the problem of Babel. Because in Babel, they were separated because of their language. So now, in the mighty move of the Spirit of God, he brought back together what had been separated through what happened in Genesis chapter 11. And he was a mighty outpouring of the Spirit of God. And he says, as many as call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen to this. That word, or that phrase, will be saved, means healed, but it means this: be made whole. As many as call upon the Lord shall be made whole. I want to see people in our community made whole. I want to see empty parts of their life fulfilled, the broken things put back together. Listen to me, though. This is important. Peter didn't preach self-help. He didn't peddle ideologies and philosophies. He didn't tell them to believe in themselves or trust their heart. He didn't tell them that deep down they're a good person if they'll just listen to that voice that's way down there inside of them. He didn't tell them about the program for the children that they had going on in the upper room. He preached the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. Because if you want to reap a harvest, you have to sow seeds. And I want to see people made whole. I want to see people delivered, but it will only come through the moving of the Holy Spirit. And he moves where he's honored and wanted and welcomed. And where he's waited on. God's had us in a season of 2 years of waiting. Listen, 500 people were told to wait in the upper room. 120 actually waited. Like I said earlier, I'm not blind, I'm not stupid. I can look around and see that sometimes we have less here than we had at Livingstone. Because some people, no shame, no shade, some people couldn't wait. They thought I guess it's not going to happen because it hasn't happened yet. But the people that were in the upper room that stayed the course, trusted the journey, obeyed the voice, received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the move of God. And I believe that we've been waiting and we've been waiting and we've been waiting. But I believe that the suddenly that I've been talking about, praying for, hoping for, and telling you about, it's coming. Now I want to read verse 40 and 41, and we'll wrap this thing up. Verse 40 says, and with many other words, Peter testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Verse 41, then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. I just feel like the Lord spoke to me and said, we're going to have a baptism sometime in the month of June. I don't know when it is, but one thing that bothers me, and I'm kind of just bearing my soul with y'all today. It's all family here today. Ain't nobody new here today. No. So I'm just going to be honest with y'all. It bothers me that we ain't seen anybody saved or baptized in a while. It really bothers me. I'm not aloof. Like, I look around, I see, I realize. I want to see people saved. I want to see people baptized. And I believe that God is speaking to me, and he just said, you will see people baptized in the month of June. I believe we're going to see people saved, baptized, and filled with the Holy Ghost. But you want to talk about a harvest, and you want to talk about growth. Let me put this in perspective. What if next week 3,000 people showed up here? See, we can't even believe it. But it happened in the Bible. If you think it's impossible for every seat in here to be filled up, then you're probably right. Because the only way that we can limit what God does is unbelief. There were two things in the Bible that caused Jesus to marvel: faith and unbelief. It says he marveled at their faith, or he marveled at their unbelief. And I can feel it inside of us that because for 2 years we haven't seen the exponential growth that we're expecting for and hoping for, when I say, what if next week every seat was filled, we start wondering, well, naturally, how could that possibly happen? How could that many people hear about the church in that amount of time? It doesn't matter, because if God wants to do it, God can do it. Our job is to believe that he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. And I am not going to limit God and say he can or he can't or he will or he won't, because it's not my job to tell God what to do, and it's not my job to question what God does or does not do. It's my job to stay faithful, and miracles favor the faithful. And so I believe that if he's teaching us and talking to us about harvesting growth, then it's going to happen. And if it's 15 people next week, guess what? That's exponential growth. If it's 5 people next week, if it's 500 people next week, it doesn't matter. But we don't need another gimmick or program. You know what we need? The move of the Holy Spirit. Because 120 turned into 3,000. I believe that he can do the same exact thing right here. That means that he can turn 50 into 120. Or 50 into 200. I believe that God can do it. But the question is, here's really where it hits home, okay? I'm bringing this thing to a landing. The question is, are we willing to be used like they were used? Because here's what I mean. When the Holy Spirit leads you to do things, sometimes it will be things that are not comfortable, that are not normal. They had to get out of the room and do things. But are you willing to be a little misunderstood? In fact, the Bible says, if you look in Acts chapter 2 and verse 13, it says people mocked them. Are we willing to be mocked for the gospel? Are we willing to be ridiculed? Are we willing for people to be confused by what we're doing? But here's what I've come to find out. Most people would choose their comfort over their calling. And they would choose their dignity over their destiny. And they would choose safety over souls. But that's not who we're going to be, and that's not what God has called us to do. If you want to live in comfort and dignity and safety, this probably isn't the place for you. And when I say this, I ain't talking about this church. I'm talking about the kingdom. I'm not talking about the well. I'm not trying to draw lines and build walls and keep people out. What I'm saying is the kingdom of God is not a place of comfort, dignity, or safety. Now, there's safety in God. Don't get me wrong. When I say safety, I'm not talking about like God won't protect you. What I'm talking about is the safety of, are you willing to be mocked, ridiculed, imprisoned for the gospel? I'm talking about safety in your body, not just safety in your spirit. And let it not be said of us that we would choose our comfort over our calling, our dignity over our destiny, or safety over souls. But I choose the other way around. I want to walk in the calling that God has for me. I want to walk in the destiny that God has for me. And I want to see souls saved for the kingdom of God. You know, Patrick Henry once famously said in a speech, give me liberty or give me death. You know what my prayer is? Give us souls lest they perish. Give us souls. You know, a lot has been done over the past few years to try to preserve the liberty, or really to take away, but then some people stood up to try to preserve the liberty of America. And some people are more passionate about fighting for their political freedom than they are their religious freedom. And I believe that we have to be people that will stand up and say, we have to draw a line in the sand and realize it's our responsibility to win souls through the moving and the empowering and the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet with me today. And if you want a fresh outpouring and filling of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask you to join me in the altar today. I'm just get out of your seat and come to the altar and just begin to lift your hands. Father, I ask that you would fill us fresh and new once again, God. Lord, the areas and the parts of our hearts where we haven't given room. God, right now, we just make room, and we ask that you would fill it. Fill us to capacity. Fill us to the maximum ability. God, I pray that you would equip us and prepare us and train us and make us ready. God, we're asking for souls. Just begin to cry out for souls. God, we say, give us souls lest they perish. God, give us the heathen for our inheritance. God, equip us, prepare us, grow us, train us, make us ready. Lord, I thank you that the pump is primed for action. And I pray that we would go out of this place today and we would spread the gospel, Lord, just like the parable of the sowers, that he sowed seeds and it fell on different ground. But God, I'm praying that we would be a church that sows and sows and sows and sows the seeds of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I'm asking for a fresh filling today. Holy Spirit, fresh fire, come and rest upon our heads. Wind of God, blow. Fill our lungs. Fill our vessels, God. Lord, we're saying that we want you more than we want anything else, God. We put everything else right now on pause, on the back burner, and we're asking for a fresh filling. As Jesus said, he said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. What I want to encourage you to do as you're in the altar is lift your hands and just say, I receive you, Holy Spirit. We receive a fresh outpouring, a fresh anointing, a fresh blowing, a fresh fire. And I think that sometimes we miss what he actually wants to do because we're looking for fireworks when he really just wants to commune with us. And what I want to encourage you to do, because it's really easy to get all worked up on Pentecost Sunday or, you know, become emotional. But what I want to encourage you to do is just focus on the Holy Spirit. Let him speak to you. Let him fill you. Feel him wash over your body from the bottom of your feet to the top of your head. Father, fill us fresh and new so that when we open our mouth, what you want to say comes out. So that when we reach out our hands, healing virtue can flow. So that when we speak, people are convicted by the anointing of the Holy Spirit so that when we smile at people, they feel your love. So that everything that we touch, everything that we do, everywhere that we go is permeated by your presence. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are an everlasting comforter. You don't come and go, but you remain. And we don't want to do anything to quench the Spirit. But I say, fill us fresh and new. Fill us fresh and new. Just wait on him for a moment, just like they did in the upper room. Just wait. Don't get in a rush. Don't get in a hurry. Don't miss it. And I'm reminded of when Elijah was in the cave, and there was a fire, and there was an earthquake, and there was wind. But it says the Lord was not in any of those things. But he was in the still, small voice. Listen to that still, small voice right now. Welcome, Holy Spirit, we are in your presence. Fill us with your power and live inside of me. Sing that again. Welcome, Holy Spirit, because we are in your presence. Fill us with your power and live inside of me. Cause you're the living water, never drying fountain, comforter and counselor, take complete control. Welcome, Holy Spirit, we are in your presence. Fill us with your power and live inside of me. You know, some people wonder, why is it that he doesn't fill me if I've responded? And I'll tell you the reason why so many people don't receive the Holy Spirit is because they will not relinquish control. He will not share control with you. That last line, fill us with your power, live inside, I'm sorry, you're the living water, never drawing, fountain of comfort. Take complete control. The Holy Spirit will not share control with you. So if you want him to move in your life, you're going to have to give him control. But here's a comforting thing. He will only lead you to truth. He'll only lead you where you need to be. He will only lead you where you need to go. He will only lead you into what you need to do. So just right now, one final time, lift your hands and just begin to say, I relinquish control. Holy Spirit, I give control of my heart, my mind, my eyes, my words, my ears. It's my life is not my own. But I have been bought with a price, and so therefore I'm not trying to hold on to it anymore. Because if I do, I'm a thief. And I want you to have complete control of my life, Holy Spirit. Let my words and my actions be led and guided by you. Thank you for coming and living with us. Thank you for speaking to us and empowering us. And Lord, we're praying for a mighty harvest in DeKalb County. God, we're asking for souls to be saved in waves. God, I believe that next week this place can be filled with people that have either been saved or need to be saved, God. We say, come and have your way. We don't limit you. We take the limits off and we say, have your way. Move however you want to move. We love you today. In Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, keep you in his peace. May he smile all over you, and may you walk in the Spirit of God and be used by him mightily in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a great week. We love you.